a peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's holding it down for us in New York City. And you could be anywhere. You could be tuned in and locked in on the free Odyssey app. You could be listening on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, all you got to do is ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. I hope you have had a tremendous Thursday. Hopefully you did not get traded this Thursday. NBA trade deadline came and went at 3 p.m. Eastern. Lakers didn't make a move. The Knicks made a good move to get some depth. There were no big-name superstars that moved around, but plenty of support. Let's just say that. Anyway, speaking of support, I'm here to support you over the next 4 hours. This is when I get started, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app, as I mentioned. And if you want to contact me here at CBS Sports Radio, you can go ahead and do that as well. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief, and our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. NBA trade deadline, I'm going to fill you in on all the big trades momentarily. We got some guys that need to make up with each other because we've had some enemies who are now teammates. I'll fill you in shortly. And about 20 minutes from now, the Super Bowl is now only, 3 days away. We don't have that much longer to wait. We're going to be joined by Chad Brown. This man used to knock people silly for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going to get his perspective on what's going on out in Vegas, what he believes is going to happen. He's doing a whole lot of media right now, a lot of radio work in general, and let's get his perspective. Also played for the Seattle Seahawks. It was also with the New England Patriots, and so there's a lot to discuss with Chad Brown, someone who I am very familiar with. Wide receiver in the NFL, most recently for the Atlanta Falcons, is going to come through and join us. His name is Mac Hollins. Mac is going to come through next hour. He sent me some food, which I am very appreciative of. And so we'll talk about what he's up to, you know, how he's feeling. I want to get into some of the offense in the NFL. He's certainly an interesting fellow, always into many things, many ideas, always picking up new things. So we'll check in with Mac Hollins next hour. Also, tonight, and a good majority of it is likely going to have to wait until I am off the air, but the NFL Honors is taking place tonight in Las Vegas. What is the NFL Honors? They're going to give away their biggest awards. Offensive Player of the Year, Coordinator of the Year, this and that of the year, Comeback Player of the Year. And then we're going to find out who's going to walk away with the MVP. I think we're all pretty much aware of who it's going to be right now. It's likely going to be Lamar Jackson. So in a few hours, that is likely to be official, without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, Hickey, none of us got traded, man. We're back. We're still here.
That's right. I'm happy that my key card still worked today when I walked in.
Your key card worked. I was able to get into the building here in Atlanta. So, yeah, everything worked out. No big names in the NBA trade deadline. No DeJounte Murray moving. I guess he would have been the biggest name. And that's about it. No DeMar DeRozan moving. I don't know what the hell the Chicago Bulls are doing. I think they're a bunch of idiots. But we did see a bunch of role players move around. We did see some familiar names move around. How about we start off with this one? The Bucks have certainly been in the news a hell of a lot recently, getting rid of their head coach, Adrian Griffin, bringing in Doc Rivers, being one of the worst defensive teams in the league, trying to figure out how things fit with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. And so the Bucks say, our defense sucks. Let's bring in a guy that plays defense. Let's bring in a guy who's a complete pain in the ass. The Milwaukee Bucks have added Patrick Beverley to their team. Sending to the 76ers in return is Cameron Payne and a 2027 second-round pick. So Patrick Beverley, if you can't stand the guy, too bad. You're going to see him playing alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo. You'll see him alongside Damian Lillard. And I must remind you, Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley, they've had some beefs over the years. I mean, it was only in 2020 in the bubble when Patrick Beverley played for the Clippers that Damian Lillard, who's one of the most clutch players the NBA has ever seen, he missed some crucial free throws at the end of a game. And Patrick Beverley was sitting on the sidelines. He was having the time of his life. He was falling out laughing. He's making fun of Damian Lillard and his clutchness. Here, take a listen to this. It's from the NBA on TNT back in 2020.
Those are the day. Oh. Missed them both. And Beverley reacting.
Asking me about Patrick Beverley, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know.
Oh. Said that Damian Lillard sending people home. I mean, what can they do but I guess stand around and laugh? I mean, it goes beyond that. But last year, the Lakers and the Blazers, yeah, if you haven't noticed, Patrick Beverley, he gets around a lot. Not that way, at least on basketball teams. Patrick Beverley, he was on the Lakers last season before he got traded from there. And after the game, he talked about Damian Lillard and just locking him up. Listen to this.
It did seem like you had a kind of a constant dialogue with Dame throughout. You end up tonight being the plus 27. Dame has a slow shooting night. What were you looking at that matchup wise?
He would have cooked me. You would have said I couldn't guard him, but now he missed a couple of shots. It's a slow shooting night. Honestly,
well, I said you were plus 27.
No,
right?
Doesn't good job on Dame. That sound better.
Well, I was gonna ask the question. And let you answer it.
I just answered it. Next question.
Any more on just the matchup?
No, always good to see Dame. Hell of a point guard in this league. You know, his ability to shoot it, you know, from the logo puts pressure on your defense. You know, I think it was a team effort tonight. It wasn't one man.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. He gave him compliments. He's going to have to get used to it. He's going to have to offer up a whole hell of a lot more compliments now at this point. And then they continued on. I mean, even last season in another game, they just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. This is on the Root Sports.
Tell you, there is some chirping going on, boy. Pat Bev and Damian Lillard are chirping.
Somebody's going to get, well, we got the technical on Pat Bev because Lillard was ready to shoot the ball. Pat Bev walked into the free throw line area and talked to him.
This is a long-standing feud. They had an online beef back in May. Chris Paul was in the middle of that beef with Dame defending CP3. And, of course, Pat Bev was going after both of them at the same time. That's one of the reasons. This is not unexpected, folks.
Yeah, they hate each other, if you can't tell. And now they got to get along. This is like before the season started when the Golden State Warriors added Chris Paul, and we know Chris Paul and Draymond Green, they can't stand each other. I guess now they don't have to worry about it because Chris Paul is not healthy. Another busted up broken hand, Draymond dealing with a suspension. But I would think Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley are going to have to get along and they're going to have to play together. A matter of fact, Patrick Beverley, he was doing a live show, a live podcast, right before the trade deadline, and he was chatting it up with Malik Beasley, finding out that, yeah, not only are we teammates, I'm going to have to figure out how to get along with this guy.
We got Bees there. Oh, Beasley is there. My boy Bees there.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking for you, buddy. What's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Doc, go let me do my thing over there.
I know.
Hey, so who else on the team?
That you with?
No. It's Dame, Giannis,
KB,
Brook Lopez, Bobby, you, Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Okay, 9-9. That's my man.
From New Year's.
What was New Year's?
Remember when we saw Dame?
Oh yeah, I pressed Dame. Yeah. No, I gotta get my relationship right with Dame. Gotta get my relationship right with Dame. Man, time with a championship back.
Oh, okay. All right. Patrick Beverly sounds like he's, I don't know, talking to somebody at 4 a.m. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Anyway, he said he needs to get his relationship right with Damian Lillard. And we're going to find out soon enough whether the Milwaukee Bucks can play enough defense, whether or not they can get their rotations together enough to go ahead and compete for a championship. And I got to tell you, some of the other moves that took place today before the trade deadline, the Phoenix Suns were able to add Royce O'Neal from the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets were still moving and shaking. The Nets sending Spencer Dinwiddie to Toronto. The Toronto Raptors sending Dennis Schroeder to the Brooklyn Nets. The Pistons, the New York Knicks added. And this is the move, really, that I looked at today, and I just had to go, damn. I had to say to myself, the New York Knicks, they're good. And unfortunately, I hate to share the news with you, OG Anunoby is undergoing elbow surgery. The New York Knicks just acquired him. He's been excellent for the Knicks when he's played, knocking down shots, excellent defense. The Knicks today receive Alec Burks, Bojan Bogdanovic, two shooters, two veterans, a veteran point guard, a veteran forward, who know their roles, are not going to complain, do their job. Alec Burks has already been a member of the New York Knicks. And all the Knicks had to give up was the expiring contract and the rotting basketball corpse of Evan Fournier. Quentin Grimes, who was whining that he was no longer at one point in time in the rotation. And then second round picks, the Knicks kept their future first round picks. The New York Knicks still have Jalen Brunson. The New York Knicks, they still have Julius Randle, although he's dealing with a shoulder issue. And they might get back Mitchell Robinson. The New York Knicks added vets. The New York Knicks added shooting. The New York Knicks have depth. I don't know what Coach Thibodeau is going to do, because this man likes to pick 5-6 guys and run them into the ground and make them play forever. Now he has options. I hope he uses them. I hope he utilizes all the shooting off the bench. More importantly, I hope the Knicks are healthy. The Knicks have not been, or at least let me put it this way, I haven't felt this confident in the Knicks and their ability to do anything substantial, I'd say 25-plus years, maybe 30 years. It's been a long time that the Knicks have been good. It's a shame I got to go back to the damn 80s. Somebody else who likes what the New York Knicks did is Zach Lowe. He was on the NBA on ESPN. Nothing but positive words.
I'm a little bit scared, guys. I'm a little bit nervous because suddenly the New York Knicks are operating like the single smartest franchise in the entire NBA, and my brain doesn't know how to deal with that reality after 20 years of, let's just say, other stuff. You just went through all the transactions. This team has upgraded at every single position over the course of 2 years, piece by piece by piece, and rarely do we see a team trade away four coveted young players quickly. Barrett and others that have gone out the door, Grimes today, and still come away with a team that's young, exciting, young-ish anyway, loaded with assets, loaded with picks to trade for a star. And I'm telling you right now, we can sit here and talk about, well, every championship team needs a top five, top 10 player, this and that. There are multiple ways to build a contender. There are multiple paths to the conference finals and even the finals. And the Knicks right now, with Joel Embiid hurt, Milwaukee trying to figure itself out. They're in as good a position as anybody outside Boston and maybe Cleveland to make a run at the finals. This team is deep and nasty, and they've suddenly got shooting, and they have done a fantastic job over multiple years of reorienting this team for the present and the future. Just wow. Unbelievable work.
Yeah, he said it all. Knicks haven't been this good. And let me not say haven't been this good. The Knicks at one point in time had a squad with Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire and a veteran aging Jason Kidd. I mean, they had weapons. Rasheed Wallace, unfortunately, these dudes were a little older. I'm not even going to count that. I'm talking real contention. The New York Knicks look damn good. So no huge names moving. Gordon Hayward goes from Charlotte to OKC. PJ Washington goes from Charlotte down to the Dallas Mavericks. Nuggets didn't make a move. Lakers did not make a move. And so things kind of stay status quo. Some of the teams that are competing, are contenders, added some bit pieces, like the Pacers moving Buddy Hield to the Sixers. I guess it'll be nice if Joel Embiid can come back and actually pass him the ball. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. NFL honors is tonight. We're going to find out who gets the MVP award. Man, we got Kobe Bryant. His statue is going to be unveiled tonight in Los Angeles. There's so much to get into. Antonio Daniels, a former NBA player, is going to come through later on in the show to talk trade deadline. Mac Hollins, NFL wide receiver, is going to come through. But in a few minutes, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Chad Brown from the Blitzburg Steelers. We're going to get his thought on this Sunday's upcoming game, get his thoughts on MVP. There's a lot to do. Chad Brown coming up next. Happy Thursday to you. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Glad I didn't get traded. Here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Chad Brown, former Pittsburgh Steeler. I guess he's gambling out somewhere in Vegas. We're going to track him down and see where the hell he's at. And then we'll continue on from there. Mac Hollins will join us next hour, later on in the show, to continue on this chat about the NBA trade deadline. We're going to talk to Antonio Daniels, a former point guard in the league, and now a co-host on SiriusXM Middays will join us. And he's also a television analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans. So quite busy, and then also has an opportunity to see, you know, all of these teams in the league. The Pelicans, speaking of his squad, relatively quiet. I'd mentioned the Los Angeles Lakers not doing a damn thing here at the trade deadline. And part of that includes someone that they did not add, and that's DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks. Right here in Georgia, a couple blocks down from me in the middle of the city, there were conversations over the past months about DeJounte Murray and whether or not he was going to move on. Well, he's He's still a Hawk, and the Lakers have done nothing. 855-212-4CBS. It looks like we have got Chad here on the line with us, hanging out in Vegas. Chad, how are you, man? You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
I am fantastic, and yes, I'm looking out my hotel room window at the Las Vegas Strip.
Hey, that's a safe place to be, indoors and out on the casino floor, isn't it, huh?
I think it's a much wiser choice for my wallet, no doubt about that.
And no doubt about it. Chad Brown here, a former Steeler, knocking everybody. He's senseless now into all types of media here with us on CBS Sports Radio. When we actually get to the game this coming Sunday, what are your thoughts on what we can expect to see?
I expect to see a good game. Obviously, we've got two of the best play callers and play designers in the game with Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid. We've got two quarterbacks more than capable of directing their team to a victory. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes has done this before. In my mind, the best quarterback in the game. While Brock Purdy is not at that kind of level, I've been calling his game since he was at Iowa State. I thought he was one of the better processors of information, one of the best progression guys in all of college football. You know, didn't wow you with his athleticism, didn't wow you with his arm strength, but I thought in the right situation in the NFL, he would be a very good player. And he goes to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and all those weapons, and he's playing at an incredibly high level. But in the end, I think it's probably going to be determined by the defenses who actually wins this game. So the 49ers need to find a way to play as they played earlier this season. And then Kansas City is going to have to find a way to limit those explosive plays from all those very talented playmakers on the 49ers offense.
Well, Chad, we know you made your bones on the defense. When you take a look at both of these teams and how they've performed this season, who are some of the key players that we really need to watch? We know the big names, the Jones, the Boses of the world. Is there anybody else that you think is going to be a key contributor to Sunday?
Well, I think Fred Warner, not that he's an unknown guy, and Dre Greenlaw, not that he's an unknown guy, their ability to deal with Travis Kelce in the passing game is going to be critical for the 49ers defense. Because if those guys are able to limit Travis Kelce, then Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator for San Francisco, can keep his base defense on the field. And that way Andy Reid can't alternate between running power ball with Isaiah Pacheco once you go with a safety and a sub-defense on the field, and then having Travis Kelce take advantage of those inside linebackers and on first and second down. So if they can handle him, that's going to allow Steve Wilks to be a lot more confident as a play caller. And on the other side of the field, for the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers offensively, they run the most tight formations of any team in the league. What I mean by tight formations, we always think about NFL and football now as a spread formation game, or receivers are outside the numbers. The 49ers, they actually do it the opposite. They bring those receivers in tight and close. They want to bunch the defense up and then try to run outside. And that's how Christian McCaffrey is able to run for 2 yards, run for 3 yards, and break his 30 or 40 yarder, because he gets a one-on-one situation with a cornerback with a lot of space because they went with that very tight, compact formation. And let's face it, I played defense in the NFL for 15 years. I have yet to be on a football team where the cornerbacks weren't the worst tacklers on those football teams. So once again, a demonstration of Kyle Shanahan's offensive genius to lead the league in those tight formations to give its playmakers a chance to make explosive plays on the outside against the worst tacklers of any defense.
Former NFL All-Pro and Pro Bowl linebacker Chad Brown is here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Chad, it sounds like you got the 49ers winning this one. Am I wrong on that?
I think you are wrong. I got tremendous respect for both these teams. I actually did a coaching internship out there in San Francisco a couple of off seasons ago. I was out there for the entire offseason program, so I got a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan and that organization that they built out there with John Lynch. But I think Kansas City, because of how they've played these playoff games, Kansas City during the regular season certainly left a lot to be desired. The wide receiver room, in some cases, cost them games. Travis Kelce disappeared for a pretty major stretch. But the rare thing is for a team to play like that and then be able to flip the switch in the playoffs. Well, Kansas City's been able to do that. Whereas San Francisco, they left a little something to be desired last couple games of the regular season. And then in the playoff games, that defense didn't really show up. But they were only able to play one half of really good football versus one half of uneven football. So in a game that I expect to be incredibly close, I think that more even play from Kansas City certainly lends them the better chance for success. And I got them winning a close game by like somewhere 3 or 5 points, something like that.
I certainly hope it's a close game. I think it will be as well. Hey, Chad, you've played on a variety of teams with multiple coaches. And I know Pittsburgh is a special town, special city. As big or small as it is, every game feels like you're amongst your neighbors, and the vibe of the city goes with the team. What are your thoughts on the job that Mike Tomlin has done with these Steelers and then his interactions with the city? Because when I'm in Pittsburgh, I can't get in an Uber or a car. People are like, hey, JR, we need to fire him. We need to get rid of him. I don't think they really appreciate him. What do you think?
Well, obviously in Pittsburgh, the standard is incredibly high. So for a guy, Mike Tomlin, who has coined the phrase, the standard is the standard, now the standard he has been upheld to or asked to be upheld, I think is a bit unfair. He has a losing season in over a decade and a half in the NFL. That's an amazing track record of success. But unfortunately for Pittsburgh, it's not about winning or losing seasons. It's about hoisting Lombardi trophies. That's the standard out there in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I've been back to Pittsburgh a couple of times, and that same conversation has been thrown my way. And I always push back and like, who are you going to get who's better? Who are you going to get who's going to be able to ship when you're moving on from a franchise quarterback, a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, and still produce winning records and still produce teams that get in the playoffs? Maybe they don't win playoff games, but they're in the playoffs. Now, they've got to find a way to get a quarterback who can give the fan base and that franchise confidence that they can not only have winning seasons, but have deep playoff runs. So I'm not sure if Kenny Pickett could ever be that guy. It sounds like he may get an opportunity again next year, but they've got some figuring out to do. But I think Mike Tomlin has proven himself as a very, very good head coach. And the folks in Pittsburgh maybe need to look around at the rest of the league and see some of these franchises. When they go through bad times, they still don't produce winning records. They got 4 or 5 wins, not 9 or 10. So sometimes you got to be happy that the process is still ongoing. It's not a total redo from a front office standpoint.
The former All-Pro linebacker Chad Brown is here with CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, I should say, isn't the only city you had experience with. You were there and had experience with Belichick as well. With the New England Patriots. Now, when you look at this man not having a job, are you surprised? Are you shocked? How do you see that?
If I were an owner, I would definitely have Coach Belichick. But I can understand why these owners weren't eager to have Coach Belichick. Some of the personnel decisions over the last couple of years have left something to be desired. Heck, I was there in 05 and 07. And some of those draft picks came in, and I was like, well, that dude can't play. I respect this man as a football genius, but he's bringing players who don't have a shot. Now, in free agency, he typically did a really good job, but for whatever reason, the college players, particularly wide receivers, seem to be very difficult for Bill to find the right guy. So I think some of the personnel moves, some of the coaching moves, having Joe Judge and Matt Patricia be offensive coordinators and call plays. Well, Joe Judge is a special teams guy. Matt Patricia is a defensive coordinator. And so sometimes the hubris that we know better than everyone else and it doesn't pay out so well for the Patriots, I think that also strikes owners wrong. So could Bill Belichick dial up a defensive game plan to shut down or limit most offenses today? Absolutely he could. Could he connect to most players in the room if they're dedicated to winning? Absolutely he could. But I think his list of demands – coming in from an ownership perspective about having control over personnel and those kind of things, that may have been a step too far for most of those owners this offseason. And maybe a season away from the game will humble Bill a bit, and he can recognize, I can give some of the personnel responsibility to somebody else, and I can get back in there and continue my pursuit for the all-time win record and beat Shula.
Well, Chad, when you talk about the changes in the game and whether it be offense or being humbled, I mean, you played in the 90s into the 2000s where it was still big pads, smash you in the mouth. And how do you feel about how the game has evolved? Everything changes. Are you a fan? Are you accepting of kind of what we have and where the product is going?
I've tried my best to wrap my mind around it. You know, I'm obviously here at the Super Bowl, and I'm going to parties, and I'm seeing Hall of Fame guys and Hall of Fame teammates who I played with. And the conversation always inevitably goes to the game today and how soft it is and how easy these guys have it. And, you know, only 14 padded practices of the year. And I did 14 padded practices in the first week and a half of training camp. These guys are so soft. At the same time, we have to recognize that football was on a path to where there probably wouldn't be much football. If little Timmy's mom is not comfortable with little Timmy playing the game and not being brain damaged and not needing a walker after he's done playing, then she's not going to let little Timmy play. So in attempts to keep the game going and keep little Timmy's mom comfortable, the NFL has made changes. I think some of those may be to actually the detriment physically of some players, but it wins a press release or a PR battle kind of thing. So I understand why these changes had to happen. And I understand that, hey, I paid an incredible physical price. And players today, they actually benefit from not paying the same physical price that I did. So I'm not mad at these guys. It's not their fault. This is the situation that has unveiled itself in front of them. They get a chance to make a ton of money and don't have to do a whole lot physically. Good for them. And, you know, and back in my era, when I played 4 preseason games, the era that, you know, was ahead of me, they played 6 preseason games. We continue to try to make the game safer in an attempt to make sure the game has long-term sustainable success. I still want to be watching football 25 years from now. And I think with the concussions and the way we were playing and using our helmets, that probably wouldn't have been. So these changes in some way had to happen.
Well, Chad, you are certainly one of many athletes to go from on the field into utilizing your voice, whether it be your media, online, the radio, what have you. And now we know that media has evolved more into digital and social media. What are your thoughts on how that's changed, where the athletes now, even active athletes, have more of a voice than it was even possible to have due to technology back in when you played like the 90s or 2000?
On one hand, I love it that I was able to walk around and people weren't taking pictures of me and everything I did was not part of, you know, the social media world. On the other hand, these guys have an incredible platform and have an incredible opportunity to capitalize on their popularity and grow a brand while they're still playing from a media perspective. That was really difficult to do back in my day if you weren't a quarterback. So for Parsons down in Dallas, he gets a chance to do his podcast. Now, is there a double-edged sword with that? Yeah, because you're talking about the league while you're playing, and you're going to talk about teams that you just played, teams that you're going to play. Maybe your teammate gets traded and you feel like you've got to talk about that topic. I think it opens you up for some hurt locker room feelings, for some conversations that maybe shouldn't be had as a current player still playing in mid-season kind of thing. But I think from a fan engagement standpoint, you can't deny the impact of having a direct conduit to players through social media, to hear their thoughts, to be able to ask them questions, to hear their podcasts, all those kinds of things brings fans closer and closer inside the game, which fans greatly desire. So the pool of money that the NFL has accumulated over the years, you know, sure, some of that is gambling, but I think social media needs to begin the tip of the cap as well, because they have brought more fans in and made fans more connected from a, not just a monthly or weekly basis, from a daily basis, fans want to consume content produced by football players, and has brought them in more and helped that pool of revenue grow.
Yeah, we know one thing the NFL is not screwing up right now is the money as they move towards $20 billion in revenue a season. Hey, Chad, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. Where can people follow you and your work in the media space?
You can always find me on Twitter, at ChadBrown94. You can also find the Kill You With Truth podcast on YouTube as well. And then, anyway, I don't want to give a shout out to some of your competitors who I work with, so I'll leave it there.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, man, I wake up and do what I do, but I appreciate you, Chad. Thank you, man.
Right on. Well, thanks for having me on. I certainly appreciate it.
No doubt about it. That Chad Brown, multiple time Pro Bowler, All Pro, knocking people silly. Back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They called them Blitzburg. And Chad, as you heard, now participating in the media space. And if you listen to him, you can absolutely tell why. And engaging and very thoughtful in every answer and every response. So thank you again to Chad Brown for joining us. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. As I stand here in the studio in Atlanta, I'm anxiously waiting for the unveiling of Kobe Bryant's statue in Los Angeles. It's something that is due, and I want to know what it looks like. I can't wait to talk to you all about it. We're going to spend some more time with the trade deadline. We have much more guests coming up in the show as it relates to the NFL and the Super Bowl. NFL wide receiver Mac Hollins, he's going to join us next hour. But we're going to keep this ship moving. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back. Better than ever with the Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, shout-outs to Coach Joe Gibbs. That guy knows about winning. He does. Speaking of winning, the Los Angeles Lakers are getting ready to unveil Kobe Bryant's statue outside of this, I want to call it Staples Center so bad. Even though Staples is another corporate company, sounds so much better than Crypto.com Arena. It's probably not going to exist in 5 years. But anyway, Los Angeles, the Lakers right outside the arena, and my apologies for the Clippers, they're going to be moving next year. They got this Walk of Fame. I don't know what they officially call it. Star Walk. You got, Shaquille O'Neal has a statue out there, Magic, etc. And right now, Derek Fisher, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, God bless him, especially the fact that I know he suffered a hip injury a couple of months ago. Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant's wife, Natalia, they are all on stage. Jeannie Buss is kind of leading this conversation right now, as they get ready to kind of unveil Kobe Bryant's statue. Hickey, I got a question for you, man. Pau Gasol, Adam Silver, they are all in attendance. What is the statue going to be? Like, there's so many, like, images that I think about with Kobe Bryant. Is it him hitting a fadeaway jump shot? Is it the scowl? Is it holding that fist up with the scowl? What do you think this statue might look like?
Oh, that's really tough because you're right. There are a ton of moments. I would say maybe like a jumper. I feel like that's maybe one of the iconic, like the Kobe sort of fadeaway jumper, kind of one knee up sort of look. That's what I'll go with.
One knee up, so a fadeaway jump shot.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I think so. I think it's going to be the jump shot, or it's going to be that stand up fist. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? There was that one shot. I don't remember when he hit it, but he kind of had his fist raised and he had that scowl. He was shaking his fist. I could see that, but that's probably angry. You don't want to envision him being angry. So yeah, it'll probably be a basketball move. Maybe a fadeaway with a bunch of hands in his face, because we knew that Kobe Bryant was going to go out there and take that shot. As of right now, they're going through all of the drawn-out process of having everybody speak and say some words. I mean, after listening to his wife and maybe, you know, Kareem, why do I need to hear Derek Fisher? We got to hear from a former teammate. It has to be him. Let's just get the show over with. I want to see what Kobe's statue looks like. Unfortunately for the Los Angeles Lakers, they will be in action tonight. I don't know if that's a bad thing. I know they're going to be happy to be back at home after their East Coast swing. Despite the trade deadline coming and going at 3 p.m. Eastern, the Los Angeles Lakers, they did not make a move. And it feels like this is going to be a wasted season for LeBron James. We discussed this last year, and somehow, some way, the Los Angeles Lakers, with a similar roster, basically went to the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, and then they got waxed by the Denver Nuggets. It doesn't matter how close the games were or what they were going to look like. And tonight, they're going to host the same Denver Nuggets, where they are probably likely going to get waxed again. So I don't know if I should feel bad for LeBron James. I don't know what players they would have had available. To be honest, over the course of his career and more recently, LeBron James obviously does have input, you know, into the roster. He did try to swing with Russell Westbrook, and then they moved him. And so, you know, he's not without fault here. And LeBron has spent a lot of time over the past several weeks saying, I have nothing to do with the roster construction. LeBron James has spent plenty of time saying, I have no message to my teammates. Do your job. He has talked about loving the guys in the locker room. Well, let's be real. He can't back up the bus and run these dudes over and say they suck. He can't do that. I mean, the best that the Lakers can do right now is see who gets cut over the next couple of days. You know, see who they can add, you know, over the waiver wire, because there's not a superstar. And in my opinion, even to take a look at somebody like DeJounte Murray, he would not have moved the needle for the Lakers. And what would he have done? I mean, he needs the ball in his hands. He is a point guard. I mean, right now he's playing off of Trae Young, but this guy, he wants to run an offense. What's he going to do, stand around and watch LeBron? He's going to be relief for LeBron James? LeBron James is 39 years old. He's going to be 40 years old in December. Next season, and I think we all can assume LeBron is going to play, he's going to be 40. I guess they're going to have to make moves in the offseason. It just sucks here for as however many years he has left. It could be 2, 3. It could be none. This is how LeBron James is going to go out, with a wasted year. And that part, as a basketball fan, sucks. You want to see LeBron competing for a championship. You want to see how far he can push it before he has to walk out of the door. I think it's as simple and as clear as that. The Lakers, they're not the only team that didn't make a move. The Denver Nuggets didn't do anything. I know there were rumors about, oh, my God, can they go out there and reacquire Bruce Brown? If you want to say the Milwaukee Bucks did something by adding Patrick Beverley, I guess you certainly can. This is the world that we live in. I had this conversation with someone when I walked into the studio. It's tough to make these big trades and these big moves, because the players, the stars, they make so much money. It's difficult to start flipping around dudes who are making, you know, 50, 52, 53, 55 plus million dollars a season. We're going to have less of that. That's why the Buddy Hields got moved. The Bojan Bogdanovic's got moved. Players who are role players moved along. And then even someone like Miles Bridges, a young player in the NBA. And we know about his domestic violence issues. He is only 25 years old. He's about to be 26. He didn't want to leave the Hornets. He's going to be a free agent. He wants to stick around and showcase his talent on a bad team, as opposed to going to a good one, fitting in, and competing for a championship. Yeah, folks, money talks. And I guess by playing on a 10-win team, he feels that he can showcase his talents and his abilities rather than playing, I don't know, third, fourth fiddle on the Phoenix Suns. All about money, folks. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Next hour, we're going to be joined by Mac Hollins, wide receiver in the NFL, most recently for the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to talk about the team that I thought did the best job here at the NBA trade deadline. And then we talked about Bill Belichick with Chad Brown. Tom Brady talked about Belichick. We got NFL. We got NBA. We got Super Bowl trade deadline. Here on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry.
One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
It's February, meaning love is in the air and on the free Odyssey app. Whether you're in a relationship, situationship, or single and ready to mingle, the free Odyssey app has you covered this Valentine's Day with exclusive stations to set the mood. Download the free Odyssey app, search and follow 90s Crush to feel like you're in love for the first time. Heartstrings, acoustics of your fave love songs, or pop goes love, the hits that make us fall in love. Consider it a love letter from Odyssey, your Valentine. Your Odyssey.